So just coming back to Apollo then.
Yeah.
Well, things were delayed after Apollo 1, and that gave time, more time for getting the system.
Yes, I think we learnt that system very thoroughly. We knew our equipment very well. We did some things with it that really weren't designed to be done with the equipment in later times, you know. Mike didn't mention one night of pulling those two frequencies on Apollo 13 apart by locking onto each transponder separately and pulling one way and one the other. That was because we understood how that system worked and we could do it. On another one, they needed to get commands into satellite to one of the missions while it was still in orbit, and they were too far apart for the
Apollo 9, was it?
I think it was and the way we overcame that is at Tidbinbilla we were able to fire the transmitter through the acquisition aid antenna. Right. So we had a huge beam width as compared with the narrow beam width of the thing. But we didn't have the speed to track a satellite or a spacecraft that was that close to the Earth.
Yes.
So what we suggested and what they accepted was that we park the antenna on the expected track, and as soon as we got the first sniff coming into the acquisition aid beam width, we started firing the commands through the command system, and we took off as fast as the poor old antenna would go for the other horizon, and the satellite would fly through it, and somewhere in there the commands would work, and they did. But that's because we knew our antenna well. The fortunate thing is we knew as much as anyone in the world about how a DSN antenna would perform if you did that sort of thing with it. I don't know that in Goldstone or Spain, being run by the MSFN station, they'd have twig to this fact that you could do that sort of thing. In fact, the Goddard people were surprised when I told them we could transmit through our antenna, through our acquisition aid antenna. They didn't know that that could be done. But they never did bother to do it with their own acquisition aids. most unlikely they'd ever need to again. Those sort of things we learnt to do in that period we had. Not the nicest way to get a delay in a program so you can learn your equipment very well, but it just meant we were that much better when it came to the real missions.
And then with Apollo 8, everybody's trained to the deep end, really,
weren't
they?
Yes, indeed. I remember that very well, that Apollo 8 mission. And it sort of ate into Christmas a bit.
Yes. Well, the Honeysuckle had some trouble with arcing in there, with their antenna, I think, didn't they? So Tidbinbilla took over the tracking solely for a
period. I don't exactly remember what the problem was at Honeysuckle. I was still at Tidbinbilla for Apollo 8.
Something in the food chain.
I think it was the pressurisation in the waveguide system had some fault in it, and it arced when they tried to put the high power onto it. I didn't try to solve Honeysuckle's problems in those days. I had enough of my own.
So during the Apollo missions, when you were at TIG, you were just working as almost as the one station, weren't you, really?
Oh, yes, yeah. I had known Tom Reed before. He took over Honeysuckle. I knew him at Woomera back in the days when I was a gun runner working on missiles. But then when he was at Auroral when I first came over, so I had some interfaces with him and sort of management side of things, and so I had no problems fitting in with Tom and knowing the way he operated. And but Tom has got a, still to this day, has got one of the thickest Scottish brogues you'll ever hear. And I used to tell Bob Leslie, you can't afford to fire me. I'm the only one in this whole outfit who can understand what Tom Reed says, because I was brought up by Scottish grandparents.